Another round of funding opened up a little more than a half hour ago for the Paycheck Protection Program. The SBA is a busy place again this morning, and farms, ranches, and dairies all across this country are busy places this morning. But farm on is what you do, right?
Live from Dystopia via Farm Journal broadcast that... This morning, we'll talk with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Then it's on to Jim Mulhern from the National Milk Producers Federation. Then we'll talk with Missouri farmer and friend of the show, Bob Birdsell, as farmers farm on. And right after the news, a quick weather update, MWX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right,
happy Monday,
Davis.
Buddy boy.
Yeah, woo. Happy Monday to you, too. Wow, what a weekend.
It was beautiful.
It was. I got to tell you, you're a little digitized this morning, dude.
Am I?
Ask the squirrels to run just a little bit harder.
Come on, guys, pick it up. I got the chubby squirrel on the wheel today. He's not my first choice.
Oh, good. You know, it's I did a little driving around this weekend, checking things out. It's pretty amazing how much work has been done, Davis.
It is
April 27th, and there's been a lot of seed that has gone in the ground.
A lot of farmers farming on, dude.
That's right. That is exactly right. We got a lot to cover. We probably better hop right into it.
Yeah, let's do. Let's start here. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told Fox Business on Sunday he expects the economy to order, but warned that the situation may worse. Quote, you're seeing trillions of dollars that's making it.
Yeah, hey, Davis,
impact.
Buddy. Hey, man, you're cutting out on me just a little bit too much. I'm going to take over if I can here. Roger, have we got John here?
I am here.
Hey, very cool.
Yeah, so let's pick back up as Davis was somewhat saying. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told Fox Business on Sunday that he expects the economy to rebound in the third quarter, but warned the situation may worsen before improving. Mnuchin said, quote, you are seeing trillions of dollars. It's making its way into the economy, and I think this is going to have a significant impact. He added, quote, this is not the financial crisis of 2008. This echoed statements from the Congressional Budget Office that forecast an annual growth rate of 17% in the second half of 2020. Energy research group Kepler estimated onshore crude oil storage around the world is now around 85% full. The International Energy Agency estimates demand will fall by 29 million barrels per day this month. IEA, however, predicts crude oil consumption will increase in May, but also warned its forecast for demand destruction may be too optimistic. Farmers and ranchers got clarification over the weekend on eligibility for loan programs administered through the Small Business Administration. There's been uncertainty about whether farms qualify for some of the loans. And Paulie for CPA for Clifton Larson Allen says the clarification for farmers is a mixed bag of news.
The nice thing is they now have clarified that Schedule F farmers actually qualify. You know, there was a little bit of confusion there whether they qualified or not. They came out right away and said, if you're a Schedule F farmer, here's how you calculate your loan amount. So that was good. Over on the partnership and the S corporation side, they didn't really mention farmers, but the issue there is that they're referring to the line 5A of a form 941, which is your payroll tax form. 5A is your Medicare wages. So if that's what wages are going to be based on, commodity wages for farmers may not apply or may not count. Nobody really knows for sure. So that could be a little bit of bad news. But definitely the good news is the fact that they came out right away and said, Schedule F farmers qualify. Here's how you calculate your loan amount. All other farm operations, whether you're an S corporation or a LLC tax or the partnership, you're going to qualify. The key exception is if you're a Schedule F farmer and you don't have any employees and you didn't have net bottom line farm income on line 34 of Schedule F, you don't qualify for any loan amount. And that's going to be bad news for those farmers that have a lot of trade-ins. Those trade-in gains related to the trade-in is reported over on form 4797, and that's not part of Schedule F. And the bonus depreciation offsetting that trade-in shows up on Schedule F as a deduction. So a lot of farmers, your typical farmer that maybe traded in a combine or a tractor during the year, Schedule F farmer, may not qualify for any loan other than if they had some payroll, they'll qualify for that.
Yeah. So, John, it's clarity, but for some, the clarity doesn't bring a whole lot of satisfaction into this, is kind of what Niefer's saying there.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't help when you've got to be really speedy and get that application in today to even have a shot at it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, one other thing that Paul told us this morning when we were chatting with him is that the SBA, and this, we knew this on Friday, but the SBA has made it clear that farms and ranches do qualify for the economic injury disaster loans. That's that EIDL is the acronym on that, of course. But
up to a $10,000 grant plus a loan on top of it.
Right, right. And these are longer-term, low-interest, 3.75%. He says that it's going to require some more paperwork because you have to prove actual economic damage caused by the COVID-19 shutdown. But that 3.75% for some long-term money, that's could be a source of some much-needed long-term funding.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind as you are trying to figure out how you get from today to next month, okay? All right. Hey, thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
You're welcome.
Let's bring in Kirk Hinz, BAMWX.com. Dude, we've had a nice string here in Iowa. This is really nice. Man. How long is it going to last?
Oh, it's been well-deserved. The good news is I think it can last quite a bit ahead. I mean, we're not having kind of that clashing of air masses that you would think about as last year. Think about the direct opposite. It's a little bit warmer. That means that the rain is getting suppressed down to the south. I think this could last well into May. In fact, our May forecast is not above normal in precipitation. So I would be optimistic, and that's pretty much grain belt-wide in terms of precipitation on, you know, the planting progress ahead.
Okay, that doesn't mean no rain, does it? It just means less than normal? Okay, so get into that a little bit.
There will be still rain shots in there. We just think they average out to, you know, just a little bit below normal. But with that being said, we need to watch that closely because that means that the jet stream is starting to shut off a little bit more. And if that continues in the summer, I think we know what that means, that, you know, we would be looking at some warmer and drier risks. So I do think that there is a lean towards that right now.
Okay. So a year ago right now, we were looking at rainfall events that lasted 36, 48 hours, Kirk.
Yep.
This year we're talking about scattered rains, just pop-up kind of stuff.
Yeah, just rains that move quickly west to east that don't drop a lot of precipitation. And you're exactly right. There isn't much to really hold the rains across the central U.S. that's able to flow from west to east. So that's a good news in terms of, you know, not super soaking rains.
Okay, what about temperatures real quick?
Yeah, we're definitely going to be warm over the next week. We're going to get a little bit cooler as we go into that first week of May here. But I think we're going to average out fairly normal for the month of May.
Good stuff. Kirk, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. You guys have a great week.
You too. That is Kirk Hinz from BAMWX.com. Okay, when we come back, we've got Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. We're going to learn about what is happening out there in the world of machinery auctions next, right here on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bear Plus Rewards. Sign in and start earning at mybearplus.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. Hey, we were talking, we had a clip from a conversation that we had with Paul Niefer in the news this morning about eligibility for the Paycheck Protection Program, the EIDL loans. and everything. He's got a really good blog on it on agweb.com. Okay. You can also go to farmcpatoday.com and take a look at what Paul Niefer is saying about that. Thanks to Paul for making time in a very busy schedule to have a conversation with us this morning. Really appreciate that. Okay, it's Farm On Week. We're making a big deal about it. So if you are farming on, and we know that you are, we want to see the good, the bad, the ugly, the really happy, the not so happy. We just want to know what Farm On means to you in the spring of 2020 as we are all dealing with the COVID-19 impacts, influences in our daily lives. It seems pretty crazy to be talking about it and dealing with what we're dealing with this year. But hey, we're dealing with it. And for a lot of people, that means Farm On. So on Twitter, include hashtag Farm On, capital F, capital O-N, one word. You can also send a text with a picture or a message of what it means to you to Farm On. And include a little bit of description in that picture. You know, where are you from? What are you doing? But text that with the message Farm On. Again, one word, capital F, capital O-N. With the message Farm On to 31313. And that will start to show up in the Farm Journal social media sites here this week. So we're looking forward to celebrating Farm On and maybe empathizing a little bit with what it means to Farm On as well. Okay, let's get Greg Peterson in here. Greg's Machinery Pete. Greg, it's good to talk with you again. How's the weekend, man?
Hey, it was good. It was 70 degrees almost here in southern Minnesota. Sun was shining, so folks out walking, getting outside, we're smiling.
Yeah, I've seen some estimates on how much corn has been planted in southeast Minnesota. You know, just people throwing numbers around. They got busy over this stretch of good weather, didn't they?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we were just out around our house here and saw some action taking place. So it's, we've had Mother Nature's been cooperative. And I think after last year, last two harvests and planting, it's a nice change. Welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not going to let happen to them what happened to them last year, where everything was okay at the very beginning and then boom, got shut out for 6 weeks in some cases. And they just decided, nope, we're going to get out there and get this done. And hey, there's been a lot of progress made across the country. All right, let's get to it. What you got for the pick of the week?
Pick of the week, we're going to Kentucky last Friday, Chip. Online consignment auction, our friends at Rotor Auction Company. People all around the country know the awesome consignments they have. And they had a sale, and the one piece that really jumped at me was they had a 1992 John Deere 4055 two-wheel drive tractor, 6,405 hours on it. Looked really sharp. Went for $41,500, which for 6,400 hours, that's pretty good. Average auction price the last 15, including that one, comes in at $27,633. So $41,55 is pretty strong, Chip. And it actually made me think of a post I did, I don't know if it was last Monday or Tuesday, but my friend Ben Burns with Burns Sales and Service over in Janesville, Minnesota, just down the road here, he has an unbelievable 4055 for sale. It's a 92 model. I think, 92. It's only got 306 actual hours on it. And Ben does a good job in the description. He said a doctor bought it, I think as an investment back in the day, just kept it in the shed. And Ben, Ben has a sharp eye. He's always looking for tractors like this. And so if you want to see a like new tractor, folks, check that one out on machinerypete.com.
That is cool. Crazy. I mean, these 4055 seem like they're in pretty good demand right now. Is there what have you got on Machinery Pete for it?
Well, we got a couple other ones too that fit the bill. I think they're in such demand, basically for the age and the size. I mean, they're that horsepower, a little less, and the age. You know, you're in that late 80s, early 90s, so hard to believe, but 30 years old now. So if you're strictly buying horsepower compared to a new one, it's such a good deal. Yeah. But I know we've got a for sale by owner in machinerypete.com, a guy in Morning View, Kentucky, got a 92 okay. model, 7,028 hours, looks like new, unbelievable. And then if you go to Ohio, Frankert Farms in Continental Ohio, they've got a 91 model. That's only got 3,808 hours. They're asking 49.5. And again, the one, it brought 41.5 with 6,400 hours on it Friday. So pretty much priced to go there at 49.5. And then our friends at Mid-Iowa Auction Company, they've got one for sale, not at auction. It's just listed in machinerypete.com. It's an 89 model, 5,464 hours, priced at 47.5. Wow. So just a lot of nice 4055s at machinerypete.com. So check them out, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, very good, very good. You know, the social media and the Machinery Pete social media sites, Greg, they just, it seems like the, and I understand that now when people are out in the field, but boy, when there's a rain day or something like that, the volume on those sites is pretty impressive. It's really incredible how it's being used.
Well, it is. We just keep growing. We definitely thank people. Actually, even on our website yesterday, Chip, machinerypete.com, we set an all-time record for visitors.
What?
Yesterday. And the sun was out, like you say, people in the field. So yeah, it's just, we're just getting exponential growth. But again, big thanks to everyone out there. Social media, I know maybe people caught this last night, Chip, but I posted a picture. We had a for sale by owner item in Virginia. It just came in. It was in 1977, John Deere 6030. 4,764 hours, big chrome stack, and of course, tons of interest in that vintage, you know, 60-30, early 70s. But this thing caught my eye for a couple reasons. I posted it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and it just went nuts. But the seller, William Crossman, did something I would suggest you think about, folks, when you're thinking of selling something or trading it in. You know, he's got this beautiful 60-30. And it's easy enough just to go take a nice picture of it. Oh, here's my 6030. But why stop there? If you look at this listing, there's 8 pictures. In 3 of them, William is on the tractor. In 2 of them, it's unbelievable. He's out pulling a grain cart in the dust. But the
tractor, I saw that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then in the description, he also does something very smart. A lot of times people want to know why you're selling. And as a seller, you might think, well, that's none of their business. Well, here's the deal. When you invite people in a little bit, maybe show a picture of you smiling, sitting on the seat of the tractor or in the field in action, or, you know, in the description, in this case, William said, you know, I'm sad to see this one go, but I need to free up some space in the shed.
Wow.
And he addressed it. Very smart, and I could see the click-through rates were astronomical on this thing. So check it out if you love 60-30s, folks.
Wow, really cool. Good stuff, good stuff. What's coming up this week?
Well, a week from today, we got our eyes, actually from my hometown of Benson, my friend Bob Zilsdorf with Zilsdorf Auction and Real Estate. They've got an online sale, and they have a tractor there. Again, these gems keep popping up all over, but they've got a 1982 John Deere 4240, 980 actual one-owner hours. The family that is selling it, their dad died back in 97. And again, they did a nice job in the description. They address it, and they say, you know, when dad died, since then we've just used it to move a little snow. So huge interest in this tractor, conjecture what it's going to bring. Again, I think the online auction closes next Monday at like 5 o'clock central. But the highest 4240 I've ever seen sold, Chip, without a loader is 38.5. That was December 12th of 15 in Dwight, Nebraska, 79 model. But that had 3,216 hours on it. A one owner sat inside for 10 years, not used. Wow. So 980 hours. I mean, this thing is really going to be interesting to see how high it goes.
Exactly. No doubt about it. Real quick, I'm in the market for a skid steer. Get some stuff done around here. You got any reports there?
Well, you're probably not going to like the fact that we continue to see, if you're looking to buy, we continue to see older skid steers go crazy. There was one last Tuesday in Oregon, Wisconsin. A little case 1825 gas, 3,400 hours.
Yeah.
Looked okay, but nothing fancy.
Yeah.
Brought 17 and a quarter.
Oh,
unbelievable. Highest price I've ever seen. Almost 6,000 over the highest. And it was actually 13 years ago to the day was the next highest one sold. So amazing demand for good skids out there.
Yeah, that 6,000 is maybe what I'm thinking, not going exactly. over. I hear you. Yeah. Greg, thanks, my friend. We'll talk to you again later.
Hey, sounds good, Chip.
All right, that's Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat. We'll be back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And joining us now is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, taking a look at what's going on in these markets. I'm happy to see the plus signs on the live cattle and the lean hogs, but good grief, this corn is off to a tough start. What's going on?
Yeah, really rough start there, Chip. Just more of the same. We've got the ethanol demand destruction. Now you throw some decent weather here in the Midwest, and the corn planting progress is going to jump fairly significantly this afternoon. So I think that that's having an impact. Brazil's second corn crop, the Safrina crop, is anticipated to get some rain this week across most of those areas. And it's just all leading up to hefty losses here this morning to kick off the week.
Yeah, and it's kind of mixed trade going on in the beans, but we've got some pressure on wheat too, huh?
Yeah, wheat, European areas that have been dry into the Black Sea region, they're forecast to get some rains later this week as well, and that's putting pressure on wheat. I'm fairly surprised and encouraged by soybean price action so far that they've been able to hold a mixed tone here through mid-morning. But with meal and oil under pressure along with corn and wheat, it's probably just a matter of time until soybeans give up.
Yeah, hogs had a big week to the upside last week. Off to a really good start today.
Yeah, I think just an extension of those corrective gains that you mentioned there, Chip. So we're seeing funds cover up some short positions and those types of things. A little bit more optimism, I think, in the cash market, maybe moving forward to the summer months. Cattle market, it's also higher. Friday's cattle on feed report showed a huge reduction in placements, as anticipated, but that's given us a little bit of price support along with some short covering there.
Thanks, Brian. That's ProFarmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're going to talk about what's going on in this dairy industry and some of the relief that is coming to the middle of the country. Well, not just the middle of the country, but the entire country, dairies across the country. We've got Jim Mulhern on the line with us. Jim is the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation, joins us right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us.
Great to be with you, Chip. Happy to have a chance to talk about what's going on in the dairy world, which has been hard hit by this coronavirus situation, like all of agriculture has, but we're certainly feeling it very, very strongly.
And Jim, you were the first to get hit in the nose, the dairy industry was, because that restaurant demand, the food service demand, it dried up overnight. It was gone overnight, right?
It was gone overnight, and it is huge for our industry. I'm not sure a lot of folks fully appreciate, but, 60% of the butter sold in this country is sold in what we call the away-from-home market, and much of that is food service, schools, institutions. There is some of that is in food manufacturing as well, but it's a huge, huge hit when about half your market in food service goes away overnight. And cheese is not far behind that. There's so much cheese that moves to the food service market. Those closed up. We felt it immediately, and that meant plants were trying to cut their production because they're building inventories. And what happens is it backs up all the way to the farm level, and that's where you saw some of the milk being dumped because there just wasn't a home for all of it.
Right. And someone else mentioned something to me this weekend, Jim, and I hadn't even thought about it. But with the social distancing and the restrictions on the number of people that you can have at any kind of a gathering, and let's face it, I mean, people are staying away from gatherings in general. But those social gatherings, Jim, so many times there's a cheese tray there. And now those cheese trays aren't there, and that gets to the retail level.
Gets to the retail level, and you're not having the birthday parties. You're not having as much ice cream consumed. The knockoff effects are huge. You know, we did see in the short run a big bounce at retail in milk and dairy product consumption. Initially, those first 2 weekends, sales were through the roof. You know, stores, everybody knows that stores ran out of fluid milk. There was a run on butter, on cheese. Ice cream went flying off the out of the freezers. But after the first couple of weeks, it settled back to about normal levels, a little bit higher perhaps than the same week previous year, because people now at home more, and milk and dairy products do very well in the home environment. So more people eating at home were selling a bit more, but it's not nearly enough to make up for that huge loss we've seen in the restaurant and the away from home market.
Right. Okay. I want to talk about what the recovery is going to look like here in just a couple of seconds. But the export side of things, Jim, has that provided any relief in all of this, or are consumers experiencing the same issues in our export markets?
Yeah, this is a worldwide phenomenon, unfortunately. The shelter in place, the stay at home orders that we're experiencing are really going on around the world. And it has had a negative impact on export markets. I will say that they have held up a little bit better, perhaps, to this point than I think we initially expected. There's been a drop off, but it hasn't been off the cliff. The question is, what is coming forward? You know, what happens in the weeks and next few months ahead of us? I think we're fully expecting some softness, some decline in export sales. And there have been some markets that have dropped off more than others. But at least the information we're seeing to date, and that's more anecdotal than it is than it is reports from USDA, because we just don't have that export and import data lags a little bit. But anecdotally, you know, sales have not dropped off as much as I think we initially anticipated, although they have softened.
Yeah. You know, Mexico is such an, and you know, I shouldn't say you know, of course, Mexico is such an important destination for so many of our dairy products. Specifically, how is that market holding up?
That's been one of those that I was referencing when I said,
okay,
not done as well as others. Mexico has been a drop off. And that's important because that is our largest export market. Number one, no question, it's a hugely important market to us. We're seeing, you know, some of it is just the economic conditions in Mexico. The devaluation of the peso has, you know, it hurts our export sales. You know, this oil situation, Mexico is heavily dependent on oil export revenue for them. And that has just really led to a softening in the overall economy there. So that is one that we're watching. Powdered milk sales have dropped. Cheese sales have dropped. So that is a market of concern.
Yeah. You know what? This is almost an unfair question, so I'm going to ask for 20 seconds on it. Do you have an idea of when or what the recovery looks like in this?
You know, that's the question all of us are asking. And the one concern that we have is that, you know, this food service business we've been talking about, you know, the further we get into this, and even when we start coming out of the shelter in place restrictions, there's a strong feeling that, you know, the food service restaurant market is just not going to come roaring back as strongly. So this could be with us, you know, to some extent. We're thinking through the balance of the year to see soften, you know, year-over-year sales in that market are probably going to be soft for the balance of 2020, which is not, obviously not a condition we want to see, but I think we've got a plan for that.
Okay, so obviously we need some relief. We've got the CFAP, the CFAP program through USDA. Is it acceptable, or, as many have said, Jim, are the pay caps too restrictive?
They are. Put us in that camp squarely. The pay caps are an issue that we've raised repeatedly. I had an inkling that was going to be part of the package in the closing week, first week in April, when USDA was working on this. We sent a letter to President Trump before the package was announced, expressing concerns about the possibility of payment caps. So we were disappointed when we heard on April 17th that they would be in the package. That does greatly limit the effectiveness of this support for a large percentage of the milk produced in the United States. I would say, you know, about half, the majority of the milk in the U.S. Is coming from farms that are going to get hit by that payment limit that is in the proposed package. So it's an issue that, you know, we've been active on Capitol Hill trying to raise concerns on this. It's one that we're continuing to try to address because it is a major limiting factor in this support.
What else should they do differently with that program? It seems grossly underfunded.
It is, and that's the you start with the big picture. It's welcome support, but it is not nearly enough.
Right.
At $2.9 billion set aside for payments to dairy producers. That's against an expected damage at this point, and obviously this could get worse. It could get better. We hope it gets better. But even using USDA's own numbers, they are projecting about an $8.5 billion reduction in dairy farm cash receipts this year compared to the estimate that they had released in March. So from March to April, the drop in projected milk prices for the balance of the year translates to an $8.5 billion reduction, about almost 25% reduction in cash receipts. So you can see that the level of support is not going to be enough. That's the first issue. And then the payment formula itself has problems. So it's clear we're going to need more support. I think USDA recognizes that. My conversations with folks at the department indicate that. So we'll be looking for more support from Congress on a subsequent package because us in dairy, like much of agriculture, is going to need that.
Okay. Is there still time before this program wraps up and is actually implemented that some of the needed changes can be made?
Well, it's a good question. You know, so this was announced on April 17th. We have not yet seen the written package.
Right.
I've really seen nothing on paper about the assistance that's going to be provided, other than the briefings that we've had, the same numbers that everybody else knows. Can it undergo some changes, some tweaks? I hope so. The payment formula would be a good one to change because the way it is set up, it covers 85% of the loss from January to April 15th, but then only 30% of the projected loss for the 6 months after that. Well, for dairy, the biggest impact that we're going to face is still in front of us.
Yeah.
Milk prices are going to go down. They're going down now. They're going to go down further in May. Hopefully, June is the bottom. So the greater damage to us, it lies in front of us, and that's why that formula just doesn't work well for dairy.
Okay. One other thing on the CFAP. Is there any truth to the idea that if a dairy was enrolled in the dairy margin coverage, DMC, that they are going to be eligible for less support through CFAP?
No, that's our understanding.
Good.
Is no, that's not the case. That was the rumor that was out last week. It was running through the countryside. I heard the rumor.
Yes.
We tried to, you know, track down where it was coming from. But bottom line, we heard from USDA and from the White House that there would not be that limitation. So
good.
Any risk management that producers are involved in, which everybody should be involved in risk management, any risk management programs, whether that's DMC, DRP, or LGM, or hedging, is not going to count against assistance in this package.
Good, good, good. Jim, we could talk for another 45 minutes, but go to www.nmpf.org/coronavirus, and the guys at National Milk Producers Federation have got a fantastic resource set up for you there. Jim, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Chip, great to be with you, and I'm glad you called out.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Glory. I think what Jim Mulhern from the National Milk Producers Federation was going to say there at the end, and I cut him short, was just a mention about how many resources are available to dairy producers at www.nmpf.org/coronavirus. Check it out, you guys. I was impressed by the amount of information that is available out there and at the site. Even just some guidelines on how to talk with employees to make sure that they understand what the safety requirements are and everything. I think it's just really good stuff. So please go and check it out, because we all have to farm on. And that's what we're talking about right now. Farm on with Bob Birdsall out of Northwest Missouri. Bob, my friend, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good to talk with you, Chip. Doing good. Sun's good. Shining. We had a little shower last night, kind of slowed us down for a while, but sun's shining and wind's blowing, so it's a beautiful day right now.
Excellent. So, you know, number one, thanks for coming on and talking about what it to tell your story about what it means to farm on, but let's hear about your operation first.
We're a cow-calf operation and also have row crops, corn and beans. Got all of our anhydrous put on there Friday before the rain hit. So finally got that job out of the way.
Good deal. How's calving season gone?
Calving season's gone real good. You know, we've lost a few, but you always lose a few. But, you know, we're still on the high, you know, we're still over 90% live calf. So we're
good.
We feel good. So
good. And for you guys with livestock, I mean, there's never a break in the farm on effort, is there? It's always there.
It keeps you out of trouble, gives you something to do whenever the weather's nasty and you want to be farming and can't be farming. So it kind of leaves you've got a stress reliever that way at times, other than if you it gets real muddy and then you're fighting the mud, and that don't help none. So
that's right. So your story on farm on this spring is it's different than I think we've faced in the past, because yeah, farmers are farming on, but we're doing it in some challenging times. What does this Farm On campaign mean to you, Bob?
I like it. It gives the people that are interested a chance to kind of see what we're doing. You know, Ag Twitter is fun, but if you don't understand agriculture, Ag Twitter gets to going down some very deep rabbit holes at times. Some of them are educational, some of them are just good fun, and some of them get nasty. So, and this keeps people in places where they can kind of understand what's going on with the pictures and just short statements.
Yeah. So this spring, does it feel, because I'll be honest with you, Bob, it feels weird to me that when people ask how it's been going and how you're holding up through the isolation thing and everything, I think people understand now that Davis and I are not in the same location, because we need to create, and it's been that way for a long time, because we need some redundancy. So Davis is in one spot. I'm in another spot. I'm working from the broadcast bunker here in the basement at home. I've been in the home office for a while, so I haven't seen a whole lot of change, Bob. So when people talk about being off of work or dealing with employees that are off of work, the whole thing just seems weird to me. How about you?
Well, we're in the same boat. You know, most of the people I deal with work with essential jobs. So most of the people around here, other than some of the restaurant workers or your hair cutters and stuff like that. Wife works at the local hospital, so she's going to work every day. She's had her hours cut because their numbers are down because they're not doing any elective stuff. But you know, basically it's same as usual, other than I do miss my every other Saturday night at the bar at the prime rib feed. So
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah, that's kind of been the biggest change for me, too. So how's Chris holding up through all this with working at the hospital?
We're doing good. They're wearing masks in and taking their temperature every time she goes in. Then she works with individuals coming in, so she has to wear a mask all the time. She's not just right. sitting in the pharmacy room the whole time. So she's right. she wears a mask about all day.
Yep. Now, the bird seal operation is multi-generational. How's Jess doing?
She's doing good. Hardest part with that is, and a lot of people you've seen on Twitter is having the same problems with trying to keep babysitters for the kids. Yep. The school had a program for early child development, and she was going to that. Well, no school, so they're not having that. So she's having the four-year-old getting shuffled around a lot. The baby is going to the same sitter all the time, but other than that, everything seems to be going well.
Good. So what has changed this spring for you, Bob?
Not a lot, really. The social distancing, you walk in the door and trying to stay away. The hardest part is not shaking hands with people. You've done that. You brought up that's what you do when you meet somebody, and it's awful hard not to, and a lot of us still do. Just, whoops, we weren't supposed to do that. Oh, well, go on. I'm one of those, I haven't worried too much about the whole thing. I think part of it is being around livestock and machinery all your life, you're just one misstep away from getting killed anyway. So, dying doesn't, you can't worry about dying because you were not going to get anything done if you're sitting there always worrying about something happening and you dying. So
that is interesting perspective. You're one step away from getting yourself in trouble all the time anyway. It's so true. So true. Bob, thanks for what you do. Thanks to Chris for what she's doing out there on the front lines. We appreciate it all, buddy. Take care. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Thanks to Farm Journal for the farm on and everything. So have a good week.
Absolutely. This one's from... So Bob is Northwest Missouri, farmer Northwest Missouri Bob. And this one's from at Northeast Iowa Farmer. Farm on means dad putting in his 47th crop. How cool is that? Hey, thank you for listening this morning. Really appreciate it. We're talking weather this afternoon. Ed Valley from Empire Weather is coming on. Tomorrow morning, we got Sean Kennedy from the National Restaurant Association.